Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be alive, and I am a very happy man in my life. God has been good to me. And I'm thankful to just see this day, the last day of the year 2023. Amen. You know, some people didn't make it. They haven't made it. Y'all didn't make it, y'all. We got it up to this point. We ain't got it through this day yet, but we have it up to this point. We should be thankful, shouldn't we, to God. If you're visiting with us today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are my VIP, very important person to me. And that is, you are the person that I was at one time 30-some years ago, 38 plus years ago. I sit there and I didn't know about the New Testament pattern of worship where they sing. You notice how we sing. Speaking ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart, and our hearts to the Lord. New Testament worship, where they worship in the New Testament, they would sing. They didn't have choirs and guitars and pianos. If you're wondering why we don't have those, because we follow the worship the way the apostles who were with Jesus worshiped. Right. Amen. Not only did they sing, they would pray. See, the whole church is involved in worship. Everyone sings for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, we would all pray together. One would lead us. We all praying. Amen. Then we all take communion. Individuals must commune for yourself to your relationship with God. Amen. That's why communion is so important. It's as important as the rest of the worship. Amen. So that's why they did it. Every Sunday. Not on the first Sunday of the month. They did it every Sunday. That's why you visit the Church of Christ, you'll find us taking communion every Sunday.
Amen.
Yeah, every Sunday we're going to drink of the blood. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. That's the command. That's the command. Not to remember his birthday on December 25th. That wouldn't command it. What's commanded is to remember his resurrection.
Yeah.
Amen. So every Sunday, every first day of the week, we're going to do that. And then we're going to preach the word of God. We're going to preach the word of God from the Bible. Y'all believe in the Bible?
Yeah.
The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. That's why we don't tithe. We know the New Testament, you know, you see the plate didn't go around but once, did it? Wow, it's not about money. Yeah, God loves a cheerful giver. Give your life. Give everything. Give him your best. Is that good? Yeah, not just money. He don't need your money. Yeah, you're supposed to give, but God loves. Hey, don't give it grudgingly of necessity. He said, if you grudgingly give it, it won't do you no good. You ought to give cheerfully. God gave you life, gave you breath, woke you up this morning. Ain't you got a reason to give back to him? But he was a greater giver than you were. Amen. The Bible said he gave his son. His son gave his life, and his son was the one who said, greater love had no man than this. He laid down his life for his friend. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks. I am the traveling evangelist for this congregation. Some of you may not know me. I wasn't introduced to you. You don't know me. This is my home, my family here. And good to see my kids back there in the back, my grandchildren. Always good to see my grandkids and my children. We love family, don't we, y'all? Y'all my family, Holla Heights. Yeah, they've been good. Been on the road. Boy, God has been good. 2023 been a good year with a lot of baptism, a lot of restorations. So not only do we think inside the walls of 1005 West Little Yard, but our vision for this congregation is take the domestic support, domestic missionary work, take it into the United States, across the nation as your traveling evangelist. That's what I do. And I recognize Holla Heights everywhere I go. And our national outreach is via conference call. And Brother Chad Bro is here this morning. He'll be speaking. One of our very own be speaking this coming Thursday. Load it up. You know, Chad's going to bring that gospel. I know one thing about him. He's going to preach the cross. Preachers that come through my program know that if they don't preach the cross, I'll give them an F. Yeah, they know that. If they use a word too big, my daddy couldn't understand it. But it's a great education. Big fat F. Yeah, that's right. If they don't tell my little brother what to do. 20 years old, died, didn't know he had to be baptized for remission of his sins. He didn't know there was only one church in the Bible. He didn't know you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. When a preacher come through my program and he don't tell my little brother what to do, I give him a big fat F. Right. Why are you in the pulpit? Mm. We're not here to be seen or wear robes and call ourselves doctors and reverends and fathers. We are gospel preachers. Mm-hmm. We preach the eulogy of the Son of God who died. We speak well of the deceased who died on the cross. And shame on a man who won't talk about the cross. Shame on him. Shame on him. For the preaching of the cross is to God the power of God unto salvation. And without the preaching of the cross, it has no effect. Go read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, 18. Yeah, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. But us that are saved, it is the power of God. That's why Paul said in Romans 1, 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, he hung on that cross. Y'all remember, y'all know he hung on the cross for you, don't you? How many of y'all thank God for Jesus? You thank God for the blood of the cross. Why? Without the blood, there will be no remission of sins. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 tell us that. Not the shedding of blood. Amen. So the blood washed away our sins. Amen. And so today is going to be a good day. We got Old Year Out program and afternoon service and good fellowship meal today. So we're going to, hopefully you came to stay with us throughout the day. Amen. And we hope you will. If you're visiting, we don't want you to leave like you came. We want you to leave a member of the Church of Christ. The only church you ever read about in your Bible. You said, what do you say, Brother Brooks? I said, the only church you ever read about in your Bible. That's not something we should be ashamed of. Yeah, I only had one wife. I'm not ashamed of her. Christ has but one wife. His wife is the church. And every husband loves his wife. Is that right? Amen. Yeah, that's right. The church is Christ's wife. That's why he has but one. And the Bible tells us to save the in the church of Christ. Now, I normally give people all that up front, so you heard it up front. You heard it again, but I want to give you that up front. This morning, I thought I'd go this direction. We're at the end of 2023, right? Okay. And now we're entering a new year. And the song that was sung, I requested that song because it was a song my mother loved. Somebody prayed for me.
That's it.
Somebody. My mama prayed for me.
Huh.
She had me on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
She took a little time
to pray
for me.
That's it.
I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad she prayed for me. My mama prayed for me.
That's it.
My daddy pray for me. My preacher, pray for
That's
me.
It.
My congregation, pray for me. My sister, pray for me. My brother, pray for me.
Right.
Somebody, pray for me. I'm so glad they pray. I'm so glad they pray. I'm so glad they pray. For me, I think we all should remember the people in our lives that have made a difference in our life. You know somebody come to mind this morning that has made a difference in your life? Do you know someone? Can you think of that person? Was it your father? Was it your mother? Was it your wife? Was it your husband? Was it your child that made a difference in your life? Let's go back into your mind because I'm trying to see. I know this. I don't know why I'm here. You say, what, Brother Brooks? I said, I don't know. I don't know who I'm here for.
Amen.
So allow me to come into your mind just a few minutes. Take everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm here for somebody. And somebody, someone loves you, and they want what's best for you. And that person, you know who that person is, perhaps. And I want you to think about that. Because this is the end of a year. And you might not make it through this next year. But somebody prayed for you. They had you on their mind. They took a little time to pray for you. See, God put people in your lives for a reason. See, you don't just, a guy like myself, a gospel preacher with beautiful feet, not because of my shoes, but because of the message I carry. The Bible says that. How beautiful are the feet of them to carry the gospel. So I stepped in with some beautiful feet this morning. But it's a providential step. What do you mean, brother? God provides for people at a time when they need him. People who are seeking God, who need the Lord. He put those people in your life and provides you opportunity. Ultimately, the decision will be yours. But God will provide to you the opportunity through other people. I'm hoping to touch that person this morning. I hope to come into your life. I may never know I did, but God and you will know that I came into your home, the dwelling of your mind, to put you in a place of thought about yourself and who you are, why you're here, who's been praying for you, and what's the reasoning of this last day of the year that you at this place at 1005 West Lily Yard, Houston, Texas. And not only are we in the room here, but via Facebook and via YouTube, via the internet, thousands possibly will be listening. And it may be somebody out there that I'm talking to. That this message must ring clear that it's time for change in your life. If you don't make change, things could get worse for you. In this text in 2 Kings chapter 5, it's about a man named Naaman. Naaman had this dreadful disease called leprosy. In 2 Kings 5, is where I'm going to be at this morning. And this disease is much like sin. It's contagious. This disease is deadly. This disease, when not treated, is contagious to others and will eventually lead to the death of the individual. Often, the lepers in the Bible would have to, according to the Levitical law, they had to be separated from the rest of the people, kind of like COVID did us, social distancing. And he has this disease, and this was a disease that no one wanted to be around a person with. There was a case in Luke 17 where 10 lepers cried out to Jesus, and he healed one, all 10, but only one came back. There's a case in Matthew 8 and 2 where a leper came to Jesus, and only the touch of Jesus could heal his leprosy. And I'm here today to say only the touch of Jesus can heal your leprosy, which is sin. And so here it is. Let's look at this story unfold with all, and look at all the people involved in this man's life to take him to a place of salvation. And I entitled this lesson, The Little Maid. In 2 Kings 5 and verse 1, the Bible tells us there, and now Naaman,
captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper.
See, he was a leper. Who was this guy? Naaman. Was he a great man? Yes. Did he have a terrible disease? Yes. What was the disease? Leprosy. But the Bible said he had all these things going for him, but he was a leper. And maybe you got a lot of things going on in your life, got a lot of good going on for you. You may be good and upstanding. You may be successful on your job. You may be doing good in school. But if you haven't treated sin, you got a problem. And this man had a problem. It was leprosy. And notice that the Syrians
had gone out.
Had gone out. The Syrians had gone out in company, going out, meaning going out in an army format, in companies.
And had brought away captive
captive.
Out of the land of Israel.
This is a prisoner of war.
A little maid.
That he brought this little maid. The Syrian army is the beginning of the people who would influence and make an impact in this man's life. The Syrian army went out and made captive this little maid.
And she waited on Naaman's wife.
And she waited on Naaman's
wife.
So here it is. The Syrian army is involved. And they bring the little maid to the wife of the man who's sick. What's going on here, Brother Brooks? God is arranging for this man's salvation. He brought an army to go get the little one. A huge army brings this little maid back. And the little maid then connects with the sick man's wife. And then she said unto her
mistress,
meaning the master's wife, she's a slave. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet
that is
in Samaria,
for he would
recover him of
his leprosy.
Now, she is a believer. The Syrian army, God sends the Syrian army to capture a little maid who is a believer in the God of Israel. And she gets to Naaman's house. And she connects with Naaman, the sick man's wife. And then she is the only one in the house that know the God of Israel. God is going to use the one believer, the little maid, to help the sick man who is Naaman. And perhaps there is that person that I want to resonate in your mind, the person of faith who have made a difference in your life.
Amen.
And then the Bible says,
And one went in.
Notice we got the Syrian army brings the little maid. That's two. God used the Syrian army. Then he brings the little maid. Then he brings in the wife. All of this is for Naaman. And then there's this one.
Who went in and told his Lord.
Now, this one is not identified, but he was one of them good gossipers. He was listening. You overheard the maid telling the wife about this man, a prophet that's in Israel. And he said, hey.
Thus and thus.
Look here. He go to the king of Syria. So we got the army. We got the little maid. We got the wife. We got the one who's listening and went and told the king of Syria. And he said, thus and thus said the maid. He said, here's what she's saying. He said, this woman is from Israel.
And the king of Syria.
He said,
And I will send.
And I'll send a letter
unto the king of.
Now the king of Israel is being brought into the picture. See, we got the army. Y'all see it, don't you?
Yeah.
We got the little maid, the only believer. Then we got the wife, and then we got the one who was listening, and then we got the king of Syria. And now we got the king of Israel.
Yeah.
Who's doing all this for this guy? God.
God.
And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment.
And he bought the
letter, to the king of Israel, saying,
Now
when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman.
My servant.
Now Naaman come. He said, I'm going to send Naaman, my servant, unto thee. So Naaman's on his way And he don't know all these people that have been involved in his life. Mm-hmm. He don't know God has used all these people to get him on track to go to the place that can help him.
No.
And I'm coming back now because I'm going to talk about all the people in our lives that have been praying for us. All the people that have impacted your life. Notice what he says. He says, and it came to pass. He said, verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now this letter come unto thee. Behold, I have therewith sent name of my servant to thee, that why? That thou mayest recover him.
A man of his leprosy.
So he thinks the king is going to do it. See, unbelievers don't know where the power comes from. See, only believers know that the power is in God. Only believers know the power is not in man. The power is not in God. Man didn't wake us up this morning.
No.
Man didn't give us breath to breathe. Man doesn't give us water to drink or air to breathe. Man don't give us salvation from sin.
Mm.
Man can't give us salvation from sin. Notice this king, this king says, hey, hold on. He came to pass the king of Israel. He read the letter. He rent his clothes and said, am I God?
Hmm.
He said, I can't do nothing with leprosy. Well, at some point, and this man realized that leprosy was not something a human being could cure.
Hmm.
Sin is not something man can help us with.
Amen. That's right.
Only God. He said, am I God? To kill and to make alive, that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, he pray. I pray you and see how.
Mm-hmm. He seeketh to quarrel against
this man trying to set me up. This man is thinking, hey man, this is a setup. You trying to send this king of Syria, you're going to send it to the king of Israel, tell me, you telling me to do something I cannot do. You trying to set up, is that a quarrel or something? He says, and it was so. Notice this. The man of God was Elijah.
The king of Israel.
See, God, think about this now. The soldiers, the maid, the wife, the one who was listening,
mm-hmm.
the king of Syria, the king of Israel, and now, somebody else stepped into the picture.
No.
Elisha.
That's right.
The man with the information from God.
Amen.
See, I stepped in this morning. I'm down here in that level of it,
mm-hmm.
of this conversation about you and God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else is involved in getting you here this morning.
Amen.
Or why you're here, or where you, what's going on with you. But I'm the man that stepped in with the message.
Amen.
And so then Elijah said, he said, hey, hold on. He said, Elijah said, the man of God had heard the king had rent his clothes. And he said, he said to the king, saying, wherefore, why are you worried about, why you turn up your clothes? Let him, send him to me.
And he shall know. There is a prophet.
See, some people are so worried about their family members. Why don't you get them to the Lord? Why don't you get them to hear the word? How many of you don't invite someone to come hear the word? You need to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And he says,
Naaman came with his horses.
Okay,
his
Elisha's in here. And he comes to Naaman is on his way with his horses and with his chariot. And he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He's there now, isn't he? Look at all the people involved in him getting to the house.
Mm.
All the people involved getting him to the house of Elisha. All the people involved in getting us to the house of God. How many people have been involved in your life to get you to here? To this day. To the house of God. To the house of Elijah, the place where the man of God has the message for you. Then he said, Elisha
sent the message.
And so Elisha, comes another person involved. Elisha then brings in a messenger. So we got the Syrian army. We got the little maid. We got the wise. We got the one who was listening. We got the king of Syria. We got the king of Israel. We got Elisha. And now we got a messenger
saying, go.
And the messenger says,
go.
Here's the message.
In Jordan.
Here is the message. See, the message comes from God. The message is go. You got to take action to take care of your problem. You got to be ready to go do what you got to do to take care of your problem. What is your problem? What problem do we all have? We have a sin problem. We have leprosy. We got some man can't cure. The world is dying because of this disease. So the messenger said, go and wash.
In Jordan seven times.
So he said, he tells Naaman, he said, here's the remedy. You got to go. There's something you have to do. Right. Nobody can. He didn't say go tell somebody else to do. You got to go yourself, Naaman. You got to wash yourself seven times in the Jordan.
And
you'll be okay. We'll come again to thee. And thou shalt be clean. What you got to do, Naaman?
But Naaman,
go wash. How many people were involved in getting him to this one little simple thing he had to do? The Syrian army, the little maid, the wife, the king of Syria, the king of Israel, the messenger, and then Elisha, and then the messenger. Here it is. What's the message? Is it something hard? Nah. All you got to do, Naaman, is go
to River Jordan.
Go to Jordan River.
And wash seven times.
And wash one time.
Seven times.
So the messenger from the man of God said, here's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You got to go to Jordan River.
Right.
You got to wash seven times, and you will be clean.
Shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.
And then he says,
but Naaman was
wrong. But Naaman was not ready, see, to listen to other people. Remember who all has been involved in this matter. And now Naaman is upset. People trying to help you be a better person, and you're upset. They trying to help you get your life together, and you're upset. They trying to get you off them streets with them drugs, and you're upset. They trying to help you be a better man to your wife, and you're upset. They trying to help you be a better wife to your husband, and you're upset. They trying to get you back together off them streets and off them drugs and out of jail, and you're upset. You upset? You got leprosy. You gonna die. You going to die in your sins. You upset because people tell you you don't need to be drinking. Ain't nothing wrong with a drink. What you upset about? The little maid in your life is trying to get you some help. She said, If he only knew about the prophet. She knew that if I can get Naaman to the prophet Elijah, he could get some help. But Naaman wasn't ready for help. Y'all know anybody in your life that you've been praying for? You know any children that you prayed for? And they don't want help. You've been trying to help them. Y'all got any people in your family that you know you've been trying to help over and over and over? Is you that person? Are you that person? He says, Naaman upset. He said, I thought
he will surely come out.
See, it's your thoughts that done got you in a whole lot of trouble already. You've been thinking you can do it this way, or you can do it that way, or I'm going to do it like this. Everything but God. Folk want everything but God to make a difference in your life. Money ain't going to make no difference in your life. There are people with plenty of money and miserable.
Right?
You can't have peace with that. He said, I thought, well, your thoughts are not God's thoughts, see? Isaiah 55 and 58, verse 8 and 9. No, he said, he surely would come out to me. I thought, what he was going to do was come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike God. Him. His hand over the place and recover. I thought he was going to do it another way. I thought the man was just going to stand up there and tell me this morning, hey, man, you know what? As long as you're trying, you all right. I thought Brother Bruce was just going to stand up there this morning and say, hey, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Just receive him in your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And go back and do whatever you've been doing. You thought I was just going to say that? That's what the world wants. Everybody wants this easy way.
That's right.
This simple thing. Just, Lord, believe in God. As long as you believe, you're all right. But I got a message for you. You got to go to the Jordan to be all right.
Yeah.
You got to wash 7 times, not 5, not 6, not 5, not 4, not 3, not 2, not 1, not 8, not 9, not 10, but 7.
Yeah.
Why? Because God said 7. Why baptism? Because God said baptism. God said baptism.
That's right.
So I say, well, I can't just pray because God said baptism.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been washed?
All right.
You say, well, I got to get washed, Brother Brooks? Because God said so. But I've been baptized, but was it in the Jordan? Because he said here, are not Abner and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? This man said, hey, I was baptized before. I was baptized. I didn't believe in the church of Christ. I didn't believe in the one church. I didn't believe in taking communion every Sunday. I called my preacher reverend. I was in a church not in the Bible. Well, maybe that's Damascus. But the Jordan is specifically commanded by God. The saved are in the church. And then, unfortunately, people don't want to preach to one church anymore, but not this preacher. Because the Bible says, Acts 2:47, praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. There are Christians are not in every church. They're only in the one church, just like salvation was only in the Jordan. It was the one river. Not any river would do. A river of choice. This river, your river, my river. No, God's river was Jordan.
No. All right.
It wasn't sprinkling, pouring of immersion. It was a burial.
Right.
See, well, why can't it be 6 times? Because the God said 7. Are not afar for having the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?
So he turned. And
he wanted to be okay the way he wanted to be okay. So he returned and went away. You upset. He's in a rage because God has sent all these people in his life. He don't realize how many people it took to get him down there to this place. Notice this. Here comes some more people.
And his servants came.
Oh, here come another group of people. Not just one more. And his servants, y'all see that? His servants came near
and spake unto him.
These the people came to name us. Hey, man, here's some more people. We got the Syrian army. We got the maid. We got the wife. We got the king of Syria. We got the king of Israel. We got the one who was listening to the wife. And now we get down here. Here comes some more people. Nine groups been involved in this man getting to Jordan. His servants came to him.
And spake unto him.
He said, my father.
My father, if the prophet.
They was trying to use a common sense approach to this guy's problem. You sick, man. You done been to prison. You done been to jail. You done been in and out them streets. You done been up. You done been down. You'll take two steps forward, three backwards. And then he said, man, hey, look here. Did God tell you to do something hard? Is it something hard about putting God in your life? Is it something hard about this? They said, man, let's make some comments. If you have not succeeded without God, how you going to keep going down this path?
And the prophet had bid thee some great thing. Wouldst thou not have done it?
Wouldst thou not
have done it? But rather when he said to thee, wash and be clean.
How much rather then?
And all he said was this. Wash and be clean. You came this way, leave another way. Notice what happened, though.
Then when he died.
He had a change of mind. He went down.
And dipped himself seven times in the jar.
Now, you know who he said he dipped himself? You see, it doesn't matter how much Brother Brooks preached, how hard I preached this morning, how much I talked to you. Until it's for you, you're not going to do it. Who came this morning?
Amen.
Because you know that you know, and you know that God know that you gotta have a change. It's time to be clean. So he did it. What did he do?
He went down.
Exactly what the man told him. Exactly what God told him to do. Seven times, whereabout? In the Jordan.
Of the man of God.
And according to the saying of what the Bible teaches, that's what I'm saying. Whatever the Bible say, do it. So he went to the Jordan, seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh like of a little child. He was what?
Clean.
What changed his life? What happened? He simply did what God told him to do. So you know we got baptism water right here. Do you know this may be your last time God is finished with you?
Huh.
He said, no more after this. I sent the Syrian army to you. I sent the little maid, the wife, the king of Syria, the king of Israel. The one who listened.
No.
I sent him to you. The man of God. Lastly, the servants. Did God ask you to do something hard? To be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
No.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Say it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Did God ask you to do something hard?
No, sir.
Isn't it time for you to get your life together? I know I'm not just talking to this audience. There are people out there listening. On Facebook, I appeal to you. Through the internet line. Did God ask something hard?
The answer is
no.
How many people have been involved in getting you to this place this morning?
He said, Brother Brooks, as I think about this,
the only hope for me and you is that I need hope for myself.
That's right.
And until it's for me, Brother Curve, can't nobody help me.
Can't nobody.
But did you get help? Yes. Did God send the Syrian army to get that little maid, that one believer? God worked through the little maid to get to the man who needed help. The one believer out of all these people was the little maid.
the prisoner of war. Isn't that a powerful story? That's a powerful, it really is a powerful thought that God can take one believer and change this man's whole life. Because he could not go around people, he was sick, he was gonna die. There was a friend of mine. I'm gonna close this up so I can come down and talk to y'all. Friend of mine, he told me this story. You know, he was out in the, he was a man that was, you know, wasn't raised with a father, wasn't there for him, and he was out there in them streets. And maybe somebody here can relate to this. And this young man made a lot of bad decisions and choices in life. And maybe that's you, young man, young lady. The track you on right now is the road of destruction. And this young man ended up in prison. He told me, he said, this is a true story. He said, Brother Brooks, every week, first of all, he said, my mama, if I'm not mistaken, he said, every Sunday, there was one person who would come see him, and it was his mama. Mm-hmm. And his mama said she believed in him, mm-hmm. that he could be a better man than he was. And his mama came to see him. In prison. And then when he got out of prison, he met a young lady. And this young lady believed in him. He said, boy, if you'll change, you'll make a good man. Nobody ever told him that. You'll make a good husband. Nobody ever told him that if he would just simply change, there was good in him. Mm-hmm. But he had to change. So my friend told me that he listened to this woman. And eventually she was a member of the Church of Christ. She was the only believer in his family. The only believer he met that was a girl, a little maid. This little maid became his wife. And this man went to his mama and became her little maid. Mm-hmm. He baptized his mama. Mm-hmm. And today, he's a gospel preacher.
All right.
All because there were people in his life that made a difference. And that friend is Lewis McCray. Y'all know him? Powerful preacher and my friend. I don't know if I told his story totally correctly, but that's the way I've heard him tell it to me.
And I know he tell it because of the people it took to get him to where he was in his life. And I'm here today to ask you a question. Can I be your little maid? I want to be your little maid. This I'm the one. I care about you. I want you to be saved. What do you got to do, Brother Brooks? You got to believe, number one. You got to believe. What do you got to believe? You got to believe in the most beautiful story ever told. It's sad, but it's true. What is that story? It's called the gospel story. And on a hill far away.
Yes, sir.
Stood an old rugged cross. Uh-huh. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross was the man who had never done wrong. He had never said anything wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong.
That's right.
He cried
in the Garden of Gethsemane, on that cross, or the man who cried, a man who prayed for us, a man who was betrayed by one of his own, another who was denied by one of the apostles, Peter, denied him 3 times. I'm talking about the man who was whipped with a whip called a flagellum. Then they stripped him naked and tied him to the pole, and a lictor would hit him with the whip, and the whip would wrap around his body. And when they released the whip, it drawed stripes around his body, because the whip would dig in and pull flesh from the bones, and by his stripes are we healed. The healing power of sin came from the blood. Amen. And they took that. They took this man, put a crown of thorns on his head, put a tree on his back, and led him to a hill called Calvary.
That's right.
In some tongues, they call it Golgotha, or the place of the skull.
Right.
But it doesn't matter to me whether you call it Calvary, the place of the skull. It was on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. And on that cross, Jesus hung there for 6 hours. 6 long hours on the cross. Why you stay there, Lord? Why did you hang on that cross? Tell me, you got leprosy. I had to die. I had to shed the blood. But it's the only thing that would heal you. Oh, there it is. He believed it. They took Jesus off that cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on a Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands. And he says, here's the command. Here's the command. Go in all the world. Preach the gospel to them. Tell them I died. Tell them I suffered. Tell them I was buried, but I got up with all power. If they believe it, he says, Mark 16, 15, 16, baptize them. Did God ask us to do anything hard? No, he didn't. He said, baptize them for the remission of sins. And you're going to add them to the body of Christ, the church of Christ.
That's
Acts 2 and verse 6. That's how you can't join the church of Christ. You can't join it. You have to know for yourself that you're here because the little maid.
Amen.
The little maid came in your life and told you what to do.
That's right.
And now you must come. Well, who would come this morning? Somebody said, Brother Brooks, I don't know. You know, in Matthew 8:2, I don't have the time to go there, but the leper that was there, he told Jesus, he said this, can you help me? He wanted help, and Jesus said, he had to be touched by Jesus.
Yeah.
And when Jesus touched him, he became clean. There was a man one time, it was an auction. And in the auction, they had an old violin. And the old violin was dirty and nasty. The string was loose on and everything. And the auctioneer was saying, who want to buy the violin? Somebody give me 10. No one would buy the violin. $5. No one would buy the violin. And the old man came from the back and said, hold up, sir. Don't stop the auction. He took that old violin, and he took it, and he looked at it, and he had tears in his eyes. He started wiping it. He wiping that violin.
Cleaning it up.
Started cleaning it. Mm-hmm. And he seen scars in that violin. Seen it being thrown around and kicked around. He started rubbing on them scars, and he started coming out of that violin. And he took that violin. And he put it up, and he starts hitting that thing with that bow, and he started tuning it. He tuned that string, tightened that one up, because they had been loose and floppy. And so he tightened that one up. And then he looked at that other string, and it was sagging. And he tightened that one up. Then he tightened the other one up. And that violin, he took it. He put that violin, it was looking shiny now. The strings are tight on it. He took that bow thing that they used. He starts hitting that thing like that, boy. And the audience was like, wow. Sound like singing of angels. the music that came from that violin. And he laid it back down on the table. And the auctioneer said, who will buy the violin? God said, I get $3,000 for it. Mm. Somebody said, I'll get four. He said, got three, got $4,000. Anybody, $5,000? He said, who? $5,000. He said, the auctioneer said, five going once, two, three times, sold for $5,000. Mm. And the people said, I said, man, what happened? He said, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is over. All I can tell y'all is this. That man there that took that thing in his hand, cleaned it up, was a master violinist. Mm. And all I can tell you is this. What happened to that violin, it was touched by the master's hand. Mm. I'm telling you, there are people in this life who've been beat up in life. You've been battered in life. You've been scarred in life. You've been in prison. You've been on drugs. You've been thrown away as a child. You've been given away. You've been through divorce. You've been through trials. You've been through tribulations. But I'm telling you this morning, the little maid is saying, what you got to have is to be touched by the master's hand.
All right.
And Jesus is calling you this morning. You come by hearing the gospel. As I preach that, Acts 15 and verse 7. Hear and believe the gospel with all of your mind. Believe it. Believe it. Believe all of it.
That's right.
Repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Uh-huh. In front of this, I'm going to ask you, if you come down here, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You must answer in affirmative. I believe. Let's say it with me, you all. I believe that Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'll deny you. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then you must be baptized. Why? Because Jesus said so. God said so. You got to be washed. You got to be washed. Acts 20, verse Acts 22, 16. Ananias told Saul, arise, why tarryst thou? Wash away your sins. Calling
on
the name of the Lord. Your sins got to be washed. Who should come? Those who need prayer. Anybody here need prayer this morning?
No.
Maybe perhaps this is your year end and you want to make a new year resolution. You ready to get your life right. You want to be closer to God. I want you to come down here and stand with me. We're going to pray for you so you can be closer to God.
You
want to get your life right this year. You want to start this right today. Start it now. Come down here if you need prayer. I want you to come stand with me if you need prayer. You want to be a better husband? Come stand with me. Be a husband, better man? Come stand with me. How about a woman? Want to be a better mother? Want to be a better mother to your children? Want to be a better wife? You want to be better in life? You want to be better to God? Come stand with us this morning. Let us pray for you. We're going to pray for y'all this morning.
Yeah.
Who need prayer this morning? Who should come? Those who need prayer. What about the people who fall by the wayside? You know you need to come back home. You've been away from the church. You done got used to all this stuff out there, just living out there on the internet and all that. Why don't you come back to the Lord and give your life and dedicate yourself. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. Sign up for some ministries here. Get involved in 24.
Amen.
Get ready to give your life to the Lord. Life is short, you all. Who would that be? Who would that be? Who would that be? And then the person who needs to be baptized. What I want you to do, soon as you stand up and sing this song of encouragement, well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing of power? I think that's what it is. Are you washed in the blood? What I want you to do, as soon as you stand up, if you need prayer to come stand with me, if you need forgiveness, come stand with me. If you want to be a better person, come stand with me. If you want to be baptized, come stand with me. Matter of fact, I'll be the first one to ask for prayer.
Yeah.
I just know I'm closing out this year. I got a call yesterday about a man, 35 years old, just got married in July, preacher's son-in-law, fell dead yesterday. 6 months, not even 6 months married. He just got baptized, a little maid was his wife, and death did him apart. What if that's you today? Did Brother Brooke give you what you needed? Absolutely. Did you respond? It's on you. Y'all pray for me, right? Pray for Brother Brooks as I travel. Pray for me that I can be all I can be and more for the Lord in 2024. Anybody else got a prayer request like that? What I want you to do is come right now. If you got prayer requests, you need to make a confession, come. Don't stay where you are now. You come down to the front. As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Come to the Lord. God bless you. There come one right there. There's plenty of us need to do better in this next coming year. Come on to the Lord.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?
Come on to the Lord. Come on to the Lord.
Are you washed in the blood?
Come on to him. Come on to him. Come on to him. Come on to him.
Are you fully?
Let him tribulation. Come on. Come on. This is your time. This is your time. Come on. Come on to the Lord. God bless you as you come. God bless you as you come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't let that stop you. God bless you. Come on. Come on to the Lord. Come on to Him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Come to Him. Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Let Him in your life. A little maid has approached your heart. When you come, when you come, God bless you. God bless you. They're still coming. Many have come. Many other people come. Come on to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let Him in your life. Don't let them stop you. Come to Him. Come to the Lord. Come on to Him. Jesus wants you to come. When you come,
you rest
these moments in the crucifix. When you come, when you come, when you come, when you come, Jesus is coming. He's calling you this morning. When you come to Him, move back, move back. When you come to the Lord, let Him in your life. Let Him in your life. Let Him in. Come, when you come.
Are you come, spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let me give you one last. How many of y'all believe God is a God of second chances? I don't believe that anymore. I don't say that anymore. I'm going to tell you why I don't say that anymore. I'm going to walk down through here as I say this, because the reason I don't say that anymore, because I believe now with that God is a God of so many chances, you don't put number on it. How many chances has God given you over and over? But you know what I know about God? If there will be a day when He say, this is your last chance. What if this invitation request by me is God's last request for you? Would you stand there knowing that this is God's last request for me to get my life right? Or would you walk? You just answered, but not to me. You answer to the one who makes the decision, and that's God Himself. So what did you do about it? What can I do? Give you another song. Which a verse of a song is another
chance.
Got it.
That's
in my power there. How about that? Mm-hmm. I like that, don't you? I mean, y'all want that chance. Mm-hmm. One chance. Many have come and they responded to the Lord. We need others this morning. It may be one other, I'm talking that one other person. This might be your last chance. You've been fighting it, you've been fighting it. But we're going to give you one verse, last verse of this song. We want you to come, and we want you to come.
Have you been right to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
God bless you.
Are you fully trusted in His grace this
side?
Are you washed in the blood?
One other person on this side. Anybody else? One person, one person.
Are you?
How about here? One precious soul over here.
In the soul, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, your garment, spotless are they white as snow. You are in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, you are in the blood.
Great audience this morning.